coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And this is the Hagman Report for today. It is Monday, the 22nd day of February, 2021. I hope everyone had a great weekend. I certainly did. I just want to say welcome to all of our listeners and viewers. Again, last month, 3.5 million by way of HagmanReport.com. Click on the link, bookmark HagmanReport.com. Go on the top there, the bar. It'll take you right to our video page, audio and video. You click on the program. Up comes the video. Up comes the audio. You're there, along with the links and program descriptions. That's HagmanReport.com. Make sure you bookmark that, because truth can't be silenced. You know, we are not going to be silenced. Not today, not ever. All right? HagmanReport.com. Also, HagmanStore.com. Folks, you want some darn good coffee? It's gourmet coffee. Three kinds. Detective's Choice, that's my go-to. I drink that all the time. Because, you know, when you have to interview, interrogate, I don't know, you're a teenager, right? I'm just saying, you need a little bit of hyper-caffeination. Well, Detective's Choice gets it to you. It's a dark roasted. And we have, by the way, that comes in, all the coffees come in either whole bean, ground, or K-cup, as well as our other two blends, Patriot Blend and Revolution Blend. So Detective's Choice is the darkest, and they get a little bit lighter going forward. So it's really, I'll tell you what, it's great coffee. And some of the proceeds go to assist in human and child, in the fight against human and child sex trafficking. I almost sound like Joe Biden there. Got the greatest voter fraud organization ever. Yeah, it goes to fight human and child sex trafficking. Love that. Two great groups, Craig Sawyer, Vets for Child Rescue, as well as Russ Dizdar. I'm telling you what, Russ and Craig both do awesome work. It's not like these fictitious Pentagon. No. Not like that stuff at all. Not like these fictitious groups that they say they rescue thousands of young kids from underground, deep underground military bases. Yeah, not like that at all. So I'm going to thank you for that. For those who are keeping track at home, it is day 34 of America held hostage by the Chinese Communist Party, aligned with the Democrat left and some rhino right. All right. So it's day 34. For those keeping track at home, also day 46 of the communist occupation of our nation's capital. That's right. A couple of things I want to get in. I got a great show lined up for you today. A couple of things I want to get in before this show, as part of and as a basis for the show. Folks, listen carefully. The Pennsylvania or the Supreme Court of the United States, what did they do? Of course, they entertained cases on Friday concerning voter and election fraud. Well, the Supreme Court declines to hear all remaining election fraud cases and allows as an extra, you know, into the back and twisting of the knife, and allows release of Trump's financial records to prosecutors. All right. Now, signing on the side of, and you can read this. If you go to populist.press, you can read this. Siding on the side of dissent were, I believe, Thomas Alito, Gorsuch, and of course on the siding with the leftists, you've got Roberts. Huh, surprise, surprise. And I believe Kavanaugh as well. Do check that article and those reports out. Thomas's dissent, one wonders what the court waits for. Okay, this is a beautiful dissent. One wonders what the court waits for. We failed to settle this dispute before the election and thus provide clear rules. Now, we again failed to provide clear rules for future elections. You know why? This is my op-ed right now. You know why? Because there won't be any. He continues, the decision to leave the election law hidden beneath a shroud of doubt is baffling. Well, not really. Judge Thomas, you can listen to your wife, Ginny. Virginia. She knows. You know, too. It's not baffling. But he writes, by doing nothing, we invite further confusion and erosion in voter confidence. Our fellow citizens deserve better and expect more of us. Folks, there is absolutely no justice in America, and there hasn't been for a long time. We are on our own. It's about time you realize that. There is and was no plan. There is and was no 3D, 4D, 5D, 6D chess games going on. There was and is no, oh, wait until the 4th of March because it's going to change. Or wait until April 1st, it's going to change. I hear these two. I read this too. It's not going, there is no one coming to your rescue. You know, we're told to sit tight, watch our country and our freedoms be destroyed. We are not going to do that, and I know you aren't either. You know, hold the line, hold the line. Well, wait a second. We keep getting that line moved back and back and back and back and back. We're already dealing right now today with what? What are we dealing with? What are we looking at coming down the pike here? We're looking to be muzzled through 2022. In other words, the mask issue. And you might say, well, it's just a mask. No, it's not a mask. It is a symbol of subjugation. I tell my wife this all the time. Don't put your mask on. You are just conforming with the masses. It is a symbol of subjugation. Resist. Civil disobedience is a must. Well, you know that there were mask resistors back during the Spanish flu. Okay, times were different. I'm not going to have this argument. I'm not going to litigate this on air. Times were different back then with respect to sanitary conditions and such. But the fact of the matter is, this particular virus, the particulates are smaller than any mask can possibly stop, with the exception of the professional mask, as well as, remember when Fauci first came out, when Trump was silent on the issue, Fauci came out and said, there's no need for people to walk around wearing masks. And then he did a 180. And then he said, well, the reason I said that was so the first responders would have personal protection. Baloney. What a liar. What a garden gnome for the highest paid bureaucrat in Washington, D.C. That's one thing. All right. Now, that's one. So prepare. Because, again, the restrictions, the screws are only going to tighten. What else is going on? What else is going to tighten? Here's some more. You've got this immigration, massive immigration bill. It's amnesty for all. That's what it is. And it's essentially the abolition of ICE. It's the abolition of any kind of enforcement of illegal invasion by people that are non-citizens. Some will say, well, this is because of the vote. They want more Democrats to vote. Yeah, that's part of it. Remember the statement that Andrew Breitbart said, politics is downstream from culture. They want what is taking place right now is an assault on Western civilization, because the Klaus Schwabs of the world, the Bill Gates of the world, who know better than you and I, just because they've got money, right, and power, and the Council on Foreign Relations, and all of these groups and individuals, they know better than you and I, but they want to destroy Western civilization. Why? Because in order to have this great global reset to build back better, you've got to destroy the United States. You've got to destroy Western civilization. Wake up. Again, do not get caught in this with blinders and looking at these hopium videos and hopium posts and hopium this and hope. Stop it. There's no one coming to our aid. If anyone is going to make a difference, it's going to be you and I. So, and people are saying, well, we're going to stop, we can stop this amnesty. Yes, to a point. It's shattered. It's going to be shattered in the Senate. It's going to be piecemealed, I should say, in the Senate, by the Senate. But nonetheless, through executive actions and orders, things can happen and will happen because they are not stopping. And in conjunction with this, watch gun control. Gun control and gun confiscation. They don't want to control guns. They want to confiscate guns. They don't want just to confiscate guns. They want to kill you. Now, when I say this, okay, who am I talking about? I'm talking about anyone that has the agenda of make America great again. You don't have to be pro Donald Trump to be an American exceptionalist. But the two happen to go hand in hand. They want to kill you. They want to kill me. They want to kill us. And when I say they, I'm talking about the left. But it's a vocal minority in the left. If you remember, look, all you have to do is remember a few things. Remember Larry Grathwall, the Weather Underground, infiltrator. Many conversations with Larry, on air, off air, many conversations. What an American patriot. He went undercover. And hey, it's forced re-education or extermination. What are we seeing today? Was he wrong? No, not at all. It's happening now. It's 40 years later. Hey, you know, you can't have everything. You can't get what you want right away. They never stopped trying. And in terms of the gun confiscation, Alex Jones did a fantastic, and I mean a fantastic expose. I think it was yesterday. It could have been Saturday or Friday, but nonetheless, we have a couple of clips here as we're getting ready for the show. We have one clip. It's an extended clip. I want to play this because in this, if you remember in 2005, Katrina, Hurricane Katrina, do you remember? Of course you do. What happened? You had military going to dry, untouched areas of New Orleans and arresting residents who refused to give up their guns. You talk about enlightening, again, enlightening clips. And then I want to also have talk to you or also play something here as well. Steve Bannon. This was on Friday. I believe it was Friday or Saturday. I watched this live, and I can't remember which day it was, interviewing Andrew Torba. Now, Andrew Torba is the head of Gab. He's a great guy. He's a marvelous Christian, and he understands what's going on, what the larger picture is, just like Mike Lindell does as well. I'll just say this. He understands. He was talking to Steve Bannon, and Steve Bannon, if you've noticed, if you watch him, he's had Rabbi Sparrow on, leading his show off with a prayer every day. All right? Great man, Rabbi Sparrow, and very Judeo-Christian oriented, understands really what's going on, again, in the larger sense. But Andrew Torba was talking about, guess what, transhumanism as the goal of the elite. Where did you hear that before? Last year? Last month? Last week? Indeed. But 10 years ago, right here on this platform, where the elite want to be gods, small g gods, for a couple of reasons, including they want to live forever. Why do they want to live forever? Because they want to escape the judgment that they know is coming. They may say, we don't believe in your religion. Oh, but you do. And they want to escape judgment. Really, you've got to really wrap your mind around that. We've got a clip from, let's do that since we're here. Let's play Steve Bannon, if you don't mind. Do you have that queued up? All right, Eric the Tech, by the way, how are you today?
Great.
Oh, man. You know what? I love this guy. He's doing a lot for the reconstruction of my office and the studio. And he's just busy as heck over there. Just his arms are going everywhere. He's pressing buttons. He's turning dials, turning knobs. Just let me know when you're ready to go or just punch it in. Oh, all right. Let's play this. This is audio only. This is Andrew Torba and Steve Bannon. And this is, hey, you could have heard the same thing, or this is validation of what we were talking about 10 years ago. Here it is.
Where does this place in the world, since we are becoming more and more of a secular nation? We were very honored yesterday to have our Friday prayer. We've been doing it here for a couple of weeks by Rabbi Sparrow, that talks about the Judeo-Christian, the American ethos, the American Judeo-Christian ethos that undergirds so much of what makes this an exceptional nation. And so, Andrew, I want to start off with you've put out and you've promulgated a fairly radical plan about, hey, you've seen this assault coming, and you've seen it because you've worked in the heart of the radical secular left, which is the oligarch central of Silicon Valley. But you've come up with a plan that's pretty breathtaking in its audacity about how Christians can bond together to fight this. Walk us through what this plan is, your economic plan.
Christians need to exit the existing system completely, and we need to build our own Christian-centric economy. What do I mean by that? That means cutting the cable cord and consuming Christian content and supporting Christian content creators or Christian news outlets. That means leaving your big, corporate bank and going to a local Christian bank or a Christian credit union. By the way, these exist. Supporting local Christian shops, basically building our own economy, because the economy that we see right now with this cancel culture and this rise of critical theory and this rise of state worship over God worship is doomed to failure. So we need to start building in preparation and take action with Christian innovation, which has been seen all throughout history. Now is the time to innovate. Now is the time to build our own economy where we support one another. And we are resistant to this cancel culture that we're seeing rise up in society and in the normal economy.
You worked out in Silicon Valley. It's really where you got the inspiration to kind of start Gab. Am I overstating it when
right.
I say that the secular left's real target is Christianity?
No, you're absolutely correct. I mean, as a Christian living and working in Silicon Valley, like you said, in the belly of the beast, I was the minority there. I was the one who had to hide my faith, or felt that I had to hide my faith, really out of fear. Fear of being treated differently and fear of being looked at the wrong way, or all these things that Christians face in the world. You know, Christians are the most persecuted people in the world. But I think if we unite and collectively rise up to this occasion and ascend, we can collectively take down the whole system without, you know, being violent or raising a hand. The amount of purchasing power, the amount of power in the economy that Christians have, especially in the United States, is tremendous. So, you know, my question to Christians is, why are you giving your money? Why are you giving your time? Why are you giving your data to these people who hate you, who want to enslave you? I mean, these people in Silicon Valley, when you talk about this transhumanism, this mindset that they have, they truly believe that they are God. You know, Mark Zuckerberg believes that he is superior to the rest of us, and that he has the ability to say what we can talk about, who has a voice on the internet, what we're allowed to talk about, what links we can share. I don't think any one person should have that power. Our rights come from God, and no one, especially not Mark Zuckerberg or any of these oligarchs in Silicon Valley, are going to dictate what rights I have as a human being.
Talk about briefly, what do you mean by transhumanism? That's a term. One of the things we specialize in War Room is getting nomenclature so people can understand. When you say transhumanism in Silicon Valley and the oligarchs and vis-a-vis the Christian faith, what do you mean by that?
So they're talking about, ascending the human race biologically. They're talking about, chips in your brain or altering your DNA, all sorts of things that apply technology to the human biology and try to take it to, I guess, in their minds, the next level, essentially making them gods and, having all of us, the rest of us, under their control. It's fundamentally destroying our humanity by appending technology to our bodies, and they believe to our souls. They want to live forever. They want to be gods. Which, of course, God is not going to take lightly to, and God will pass judgment on. It's inevitable that that's going to happen. But we need to, as Christians, recognize that this is going on. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is not some sci-fi movie. This is what these guys are focused. This is the future that these guys are focused on bringing into power, is consolidating their power, consolidating all the wealth to them, consolidating all the data to them, and the control of the rest of us who can bank. Now, GAD is a perfect example of what is going to happen to churches, to Christian organizations, to anybody that does not buy into this woke state religion, this woke Marxism, whatever you want to call it. You will be banned from your bank. You will be banned from the internet. So what you need to do is start building on alternative platforms like Gab, open up another bank account with a local bank or a Christian credit union, but they do exist. You need to find them, and more need to be built immediately. So we need to, you know, work together right now and support one another and build this alternative economy that is free from the grasp of these tyrants in Silicon Valley and these tyrants in DC and the oligarchs in general.
I just want to make sure we understand.
All right. And folks, I'll put the link in the program description box for this particular episode so you can hear the entire interview. That was an excerpt from Steve Bannon interviewing Andrew Torba. I believe it was Saturday now that he mentioned it. And I'm the head of Gab. Okay, so get off Facebook. Get off Twitter. Just shut down your accounts. Twitter is a sewage pit anyway. It's an echo chamber of the left, as is Facebook. Get off those and get off YouTube and that, and please subscribe to us on Rumble. Okay. We're on Rumble. We're on our own platform, but we're using Rumble because bandwidth, I gotta tell you, we pay for bandwidth anyway. It's expensive, but, transhumanism. And that's an absolutely astounding summation by Andrew Torba from Gab. And, we've been talking about that now for well into a decade. All right. I'm not going to play any more videos, audios, or anything like that. I think you get the idea. We're on our own. SCOTUS has abandoned us. The Supreme Court of the United States has abandoned us. They threw, President Trump under the bus, allowing, of course, disallowing any discussion of election and voter fraud, at least through that venue. Also saying, hey, go ahead. All of his financials can go to DAs. And you know what? I'm going to tell you, all right, if our tax return, my tax returns for my company, if I'm looking at, I have to have a CPA do my company. You're looking at 90 pages, you know, easy of tax returns. And it's not that big of a company. But you have to do things the way they, you know, tell you to do. The average person doesn't have a chance. So the chances of, and Martha Stewart, not, you know, people say, well, she went to jail, she deserved it. No. When you misfile a single piece of paper, you know, without intent, they've got you. So I want you to think about what he just said. I want you to think about what I said, and please act accordingly. We have to band together or else we're going to hang separately. All right. I've got Randy Taylor as co-host flying with me, as well as John Moore, the Liberty Man. TheLibertyMan.com is his website. Listen to John Moore daily. That's right, daily. 3 hours. That's three. Count them. 1, 2, 3. That's Monday through Friday for those people in San Francisco and Hattiesburg, Mississippi. If you, you know, and also up in Minnesota, you know, just not to pick on towns. I shouldn't do that. I'm joking, of course, but 3 hours a day, Monday through Friday, 5 days a week, and 2 hours right here with me and Randy on Mondays. So John Moore, thelibertyman.com. That's his website. Be sure to check it out. Be sure to listen to his program. Randy, welcome after a weekend off and a week off, actually. I'm glad to have you back.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here. Folks, thank you for your prayers and your support with my the passing of my brother.
Yes.
Greatly appreciated. The family's grateful. A lot of kind words through email, and we had some folks send money in to go to my sister-in-law. That's fantastic. You have no idea. She's lost a lot of work dealing with this over the last few weeks. So I just want to say a very heartfelt thank you.
We have, I'm going to tell you, we have the most activist audience in the world. And speaking of that, there's no segue from that, no graceful segue, but to our audience, if you want to make your voices heard, please call the Supreme Court switchboard and explain to them nicely how disappointed you are in the decision you could, that's one thing you can do. And also your U.S. reps, and explain to them how disappointed you are in this whole thing, because we are not going to forget November 3rd. John Moore, how are you?
Well, sir, it's good to be here. It took 20 minutes of messing with two different computers to get everything working properly, but I'm here.
Yeah,
and I know. It's good to be here.
That's why we had an extended opening there, but I'm glad you're with us. Did you get a chance to hear the opening? The Supreme Court issues, you've got immigration issues, you've got gun confiscation, I'm talking gun confiscation. So we've got all this facing us. What are your thoughts, man?
Well, when it comes to gun confiscation, I'll be having dinner with my sheriff tonight. We'll be talking about pending legislation. I doubt that in my county, Crawford County, Missouri, will do much unless it gets passed and signed by the president, at which time the people in my county will do what they need to do to protect their Second Amendment rights. Now, I'm out of the loop on what's going on with the Supreme Court. Did they have a recent decision in the last couple of days?
Came out today. Is on Friday, Sidney Powell's case and Lynn Wood's Lynn Wood's cases were submitted to the Supreme Court. That was on the 19th, which was Friday, for their assessment. They decided not to hear. In other words, they dismissed cert on the cases. The Supreme Court of the United States, Republican Party of Pennsylvania, Veronica versus the acting secretary of Pennsylvania, used to be Bookvar, replaced by a name, I can't pronounce it, Jay Corman et al. The motions of Donald Trump for President Inc. for leave to intervene as petitioner are dismissed as moot. And the Now, dissenting, of course, was Clarence Thomas, and he writes this: one wonders what the court waits for. Hey, we didn't settle this, and I'm paraphrasing, we didn't settle this before the election or provide clear rules. Now we again fail to provide clear rules for future elections. The decision to leave the election lie hidden beneath a shroud of doubt is baffling. No, it's not. Clarence, you know, your wife knows, especially her, they know. It's not baffling. It's a communist infiltration. It's I'm going to call this the Kavanaugh effect? I suppose I could. The Kavanaugh effect in this bizarre world of Kavanaugh effect of communist infiltration. Anyway, that's what's happening. So there you go. Screw us.
Hey, also,
that's disappointing.
One other thing the Supreme Court did too, Doug, was they rejected Trump's bid to shield his taxes from the Manhattan DA.
Right.
So that's just one more slap in the face. They've been busy the last few days slapping in the face.
So John and Randy, what is happening right now is, this is not really against Donald Trump, although it is. This is against you, Randy, me, our families. This is against every person who wants this nation to survive as a Judeo-Christian nation with laws and morality. That's what it's a full frontal assault on this country.
No, absolutely. It's an absolute assault on Christianity. It's been going on for some time. It's only going to get worse.
Yep.
I mean, look at just, I mean, anybody that even wants to disagree with that or even go, well, are you sure? Okay, how come you could shop at Walmart but you couldn't go to church?
Yeah.
Help me out. You know, so that just, but every time you turn around, it's an assault on Christianity.
It's become
a habit in Washington, D.C.
Yeah. And,
well, Doug, since the 3rd of November, or shortly thereafter, we've been discussing that to have free and fair elections in the future, we need to change what happened on November 3rd with the mail-in ballots, the voter fraud, and all the criminal activity that allowed Joe Biden to appear to take the election, which, of course, he did not legally take it. What happened with the Supreme Court is making it much more difficult to change the vote fraud that took place on November 3rd. It's going to go back to the state legislatures, I assume, to be able to make any changes to make sure that we have free and fair elections in the future. In the absence of that, we're done as a republic. We're finished as a republic. We'll never win another national election, state senate, state reps, or U.S. Senate, U.S. representatives, and many lower positions as well, because they have a system of winning elections that can't be beat unless it's changed at the state level. Right. It's very dangerous, Doug, very dangerous.
And you know what, guys? Andrew Torba said it all in that transhumanist speech. You know, look, here's what we need to do, and this is for all of us. We need to find a Christian bank, and they're out there. They're few, but they're out there. We need to find our own communication areas, including Gab. That's the one place we can go. We need to break away from this satanic, cultish crap that's going on. And this is the only way we fight back. We have, I mean, bloodless fighting back. We spend money. Did you know, the companies? I mean, if you look at the companies that are in favor of gun confiscation, and I say that, there are roughly 200 businesses whose leaders are backing gun control initiatives. All right. The Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms launched an initiative last year aimed at providing information to Second Amendment loving Americans. Anyway, this is an article by Beth Bauman of Town Hall. But to look at this list of companies, AMC Theaters, AOL, Time Warner, those are, you know, just two of the A's, AT&T, AutoZone. You've got Home Depot, damn them. You've got Condé Nast, of course, you know, big surprise there. Delta Airlines, Dick's Sporting Goods. Dick's Sporting Goods.
Appropriately named.
You know, yeah, thank you. And well, on and on.
Big story behind Dick's is they had Field & Stream.
Yes.
To
yes.
house their weapons and stuff. That's how they tried to get out of it. But mm-hmm. I think people realized that it was the same company. And so now in our town, Field & Stream, or Sportsman Warehouse, bought out Field & Stream, and they are loaded with yep. guns and ammo.
Amen.
So rush right now and get your guns and ammo.
Well, hey, if you don't have it now, you're not going to have it. So, John,
Doug, to go with what you're saying, that's what we've been saying here for some time. Don't feed the machine.
Don't feed the beast. That's right.
Don't feed the greed. These people are driven by greed, self-importance, delusions of grandeur, but it all comes from money. That little snot Zuckerberg was just some punk kid in a college, okay? He puts his pants on just like you and I do at the end of the day. That's it.
Yep.
He is not superior in any way, okay? A lot of this stuff he blundered into. All right. So he knows how to do some data programming and all. So what? I can fix an air conditioner. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't make me a superior human. It might make me a good neighbor when I can come over and help you out, but it doesn't, it means nothing. Bill Gates, look at this piece of garbage. He has money. So suddenly he's in charge. So suddenly he feels like he's God. And the Zuckerberg, he's God. This is where we have a problem, people. These people have got to be knocked down, and the only way you can knock them down is do not feed their machines. Shut them down. You want to close a restaurant in your town? Don't eat there.
There you go.
Guess what? It's just a bigger scale. And we know of at least 75 to 100 million people that we know of that have superior buying power and have the ability to spend in this country. And if they withdraw from all this garbage, man, you could hurt these people. And you could bring them to their knees.
We need to, and John, we talked about this on one show. Randy, I'm not sure you were with me, but one of the most effective, one of the most effective campaigns against tyranny was in Poland. Lech Wałęsa, this was, I believe it was on Wednesday. Tuesday with L.A. Marzulli. the solidarity movement in Poland, where they just stopped working. Everyone just stopped working and everything ground to a halt. And, you know, we need to do this. I'm not saying stop working, but something in the same manner where, you know, we all need to just say no, enough. In other words, John, it's just like, you know, not wearing a mask. No, we're not going to wear a mask. No, we're not going to shut our businesses down. If you want to find me, find me. And take your money out of the banks. I'm telling you right now, well, they're going to freeze my bank account. Well, take your money out of the banks. You know, John.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're.
Well, let's address a couple of things. There was a Trader Joe's in Southern California that about a dozen men and women walked in there last week without masks with video cameras running, and it caused havoc inside the Trader Joe's. They were picking up bananas and bags of chips. They really didn't need to buy anything, but they were doing a kind of a ceremonial attempt to buy things, and the Trader Joe's employees were just trying to block them, put their hand up in front of the video camera. Protesters without masks were putting cash on the counter and walking out the door with their couple of bananas or their bag of chips because employees refused to serve them. If it was a TV show made about this 3 or 4 years ago, we would think, well, what a fantasy. But this is the truly bizarre and unusual have become our reality, unfortunately. I've done this myself a couple of times. I walked into a restaurant, and I didn't have a mask on. So they said, we need to put a mask on. And I said, well, okay, I put on a mask. And so I had a mask that had a big hole cut out in the middle like this. And they didn't like that. So I had another mask made out of mosquito netting that I put on that we sell at my website. And the girl said, well, you can breathe. And I said, you know, that's a really good idea to be able to breathe.
Yeah.
And they still refused to serve me, even though I was in compliance with the law, which doesn't specify anything other than wearing a mask. It doesn't say anything about what kind of mask, what kind of material needs to be made of, and so forth. So these employees have made themselves, in many cases, have made themselves the mask police. And it's getting pretty crazy, Doug. Wearing a mask, not wearing a mask. I see people in their cars by themselves wearing a mask. How insane is that? You know, or outside by themselves wearing a mask. My grandchildren, when they in high school athletics, they have to wear a mask when they're working out, of all things.
It's child abuse.
It is. Yeah. And
no one should put up. Look, if you want to wear a mask, wear a friggin' mask. You don't want to wear a mask, or if I'm not wearing a mask, leave me alone. If your mask works so great.
What happened to my body, my choice?
Yeah. Well, it's only for killing kids or killing unborn.
I know. But I'm of the same opinion. Do what you want. You want to wear a mask, wear one. But you can't. I don't understand quarantining healthy people. That's what I don't get.
Well, that's tyranny.
You're right, Randy. We've had pandemics, and of course, this was not a pandemic for centuries, and we've never quarantined healthy people. Which brings up something I just learned a week ago. Did we talk last week about changing the protocols for what is and what is not a pandemic, Doug?
No,
we did not, sir.
No.
Okay. Well, in 2009, they changed the protocols. Before 2009, for a disease to be a pandemic, you had to be in many nations, number one, and number two, have a higher death count or percentage death than the normal seasonal flu, number two. Well, in 2009, they eliminated number two. You know, the death count no longer has to be any certain number to be called a pandemic under the current protocols. And it's not a matter of semantics. It's very important because you can't have emergencies declared unless there's a pandemic first. You can't have lockdowns. You can't have quarantine. You can't mandate people wear a mask unless you have an emergency. You can't have an emergency unless you have a pandemic first. So it all flows first from what is and what is not a pandemic. And under the original 2008 protocols and before, this is not a pandemic, gentlemen. I've suspected that all these months for about a year now. that this is not a pandemic. But now we have confirmation that what's going on is not a pandemic, and we can stand behind that and tell anybody that wants to listen, no, this is not a pandemic. The whole thing is based on a fraud when they changed the protocols for what is a pandemic. The harm done to our economy is somewhat easy to measure. The harm done to our children really can't be measured. They can attempt to, but we really don't know. We've got millions of children that have not set foot in a classroom now for a year, including my grandchildren. And of course they're harmed. How bad and for how long? We don't know. Maybe they're harmed permanently. I don't know. But it's all been done based on a fraudulent change in the protocols for what is a pandemic. There is a price to be paid for this, and I hope the people that did this are held accountable for the millions of jobs lost, the tens of thousands of businesses that have been closed, the harm done to our children, the harm done to our culture and our economy, which continues. Dr. Fauci was on several talk shows yesterday, TV talk shows, talking about the pandemic continuing into the future, probably for much of this year. They don't want it to be over. They want people to be so scared that they will demand the vaccine. Even out here where I live, gentlemen, I have breakfast with some of the guys on Saturday mornings at a local coffee shop and restaurant, and I would say probably three-fourths of them are either have or intend to get the vaccine. I find that really scary. I know all of us know Mike Adams, and many of us know Dr. Tenpenny, and there's agreement among the scientists. Mike Adams is a scientist. Dr. Tenpenny is a medical doctor. And the scientists and doctors looking into this, like Dr. Tenpenny, are in agreement that in four to 14 months, people will start dying from these COVID, quote-unquote, vaccines. They're not really vaccines. It's gene therapy. All previous attempts ended because they were using the proper protocols, which included animal testing, and all the animals died. So they had to stop. Every time they attempted to make these gene therapies, they had to stop because all the animals died. And they'll jump through all kinds of hoops to get the animals to live, but they couldn't. They wouldn't live. They just kept dying on them, so they had to stop the testing and stop their gene therapy fake vaccine development. So now instead of animals being tested on, they're testing them on human beings. And this is not going to have a good end. It's just simply going to kill a lot of people. Are going to die.
It's already killing people.
It is. Over 1,000 have died already. You're right, yeah. Andy.
And that's a scary thing when you sit there and you see somebody coming at you with a needle. And you think,
oh, yeah.
And you're thinking, wow, I could be dead in 30 minutes.
Most people don't think that.
They don't equate that. You know?
No, they don't.
To me, that's terrifying. I told my wife, said something to me about it, and I said, well, honey, I said, if everybody's got their vaccinations, what do I need one for?
But it's called lethal injection, by the way.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, and you're right, John, this is not a vaccine. It's messenger RNA. It's never been used in humans before. There's no testing to this.
Here's where they're going to get at the kids, Doug, or they're going to get at the families and get people to do this. They're going to do it through the kids when the schools say your children can't be in school if they don't have the vaccination. That's where people will start to fold.
Then it's go time.
But that's where people will start to fold.
We can't have that.
I don't care. You hand me a slip. I'll write on there that my daughter's had it.
Well, in the state of Missouri, we have a religious exemption, thank goodness, in our state laws for all the vaccinations for the children. But you're right, Randy. Most parents in most of the 50 states, at least the other 49 states, will fold when it comes to, because they're already used to it. They're already used to vaccine mandates. So it's nothing new to them. And majority of them, won't take the time to read or find out what's really going on. They'll simply fold, and the kids will get the vaccinations. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the parents will also.
Yeah. This is so mimics the mark of the beast, you know.
Absolutely.
Really, you won't be able to buy, sell, trade, attend school, be in public places or anything unless you have, I don't know if they're coming up with a card or a chip or what, but I have no intention of participating.
Well, I get a industry newsletter concerning the airline and cruise industries for people to take cruises. And, we're already seeing airlines and cruises both, they're mandating COVID testing before you get on the ship. And we're already seeing mandates for vaccines on some of the airlines and soon to be on the cruises also. That's just the beginning. It appears from what I can see, gentlemen, that all airlines will require COVID testing and at some point require vaccines before you can fly on a plane or go on a cruise. Probably it may include riding a bus, a public transportation bus, maybe even using an Uber. I know a woman who drives Uber for a living, and she's mandated to wear a mask, which a lot of times she just takes it off. But that's the rules for Uber, is the passengers and the driver have to both wear a mask. We can see where this is going. The requirement to wear a mask will soon become a requirement to have a vaccine. Mm-hmm. And you're right, Randy, there'll be some kind of identification card, tattoo, some sort of way to prove that you've had the vaccine.
Yeah, that this adds a lot more value to what Andrew Torba was saying there, talking with Bannon, how these, we've got to set up like basically an alternate society financially, just because, I mean, people have to eat and there's going to be people turned away from the major box stores that can't buy food.
That'll be done locally. You know, it was my parents' generation that lived through the Depression, and the country cousins would get fresh milk and fresh eggs into their city cousins. Mm-hmm. It'll be done locally. Farmers markets will pop up spontaneously. People who can grow food will be selling food to people that can't grow food. To develop that much past that, past the county level, would take a level of organization that may take a year or more, if it ever happens at all. But at the county level is where it can happen and should happen, where people will be meeting each other's needs with the market meeting the demand is what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. The market will always meet the demand. We may not like the pricing. We may not know. We may not like the way we have to trade. Because if the money itself collapses, then we're left with barter. And barter is not an easy way to conduct business, to say the least. But people will do what they got to do. Cigarettes and alcohol will become barter items, just like they were in World War II and in prisons. Cigarettes become currency in prisons for a very good reason. In fact, I plan on buying some maybe a case or two of popular cigarettes and then vacuum pack them. And maybe buy some half pints of whiskey and keep them in storage also as barter items in the future. Of course, out where I live, people will be making whiskey probably in a week.
Yeah. But,
they will.
Good corn liquor.
I was a gentleman does small engine repair in my neighborhood. I visited him to pick up my chainsaw, and he had a little still. It was maybe a 1 gallon size still sitting there on the floor, brand new. He just fabricated it, and I looked at it, and I looked at him. I just smiled because I, easily could tell what that was. But making alcohol is not a big deal.
But in the meantime, okay, because in the larger sense here, I mean, look at what's happening. Because you had talked about the impact on children and such, and you're right. We have to, as you said, we've got to establish alternate Christian conservative things. But right now the lawlessness in this country. For example, last week I said, New York identified the most prolific serial killer by definition in the history of the Empire State, in the history of America, in the form of Andrew Cuomo, the governor there, when it was found that he covered up that whole, putting COVID patients or the patients of the Chinese Communist Party virus into nursing homes. How many people did he actually kill? And now, just as an aside, a New York Assemblyman, Colin Schmidt, said that you know, hey, he could come up on conspiracy charges. I'm paraphrasing now. Ron Kim, I believe, said the same thing. And also he, you know, New York could go, can go the other direction politically. But anyway, you're
well,
right.
Doug, the three of us knew that last September.
Well, yes, but
right. You know, why is it only news now? We, all three of us knew it last September. Most of our listeners did.
Well, exactly. No, you're exactly right. And people who tuned into this program, in your program, John, LibertyMan.com, knew that as well. Yes, you're absolutely right.
It's also on the note of this alternative society. Bear in mind, the government, the New World Order, the global cabal, they know that we plan on doing this. All right. That's why they're already eliminating currency. They're trying to drive everything into digital currency, debit cards, credit cards, to where there's no cash transacted. Understand this, people. This is where that's where we're heading. They're not doing this for your convenience. They're doing this so they have total control. So there's not a dollar transacted anywhere that they don't know about.
Well, gentlemen, out where I live, a lot of Ben Franklin's change hands in buying and selling cattle and horses and pickup trucks and firearms, and there's no record of it at all except a handwritten receipt maybe, and the Ben Franklin's change hands at the coffee shop and over the hoods of pickup trucks and so forth. Lots of Ben Franklin's, and that's much of the country. Transactions are done that way. People not using any credit cards or checks or anything like that. It's just Andy Jackson's and Ben Franklin's and so forth changing hands privately with no record whatsoever anyplace.
And if I could plug this too, you know, that's why it, many times, many weeks and appearances, Steve Quayle and I spoke about gold and silver, precious metals, because that's going to be an exchangeable commodity that can be measured as opposed to fiat notes, you know, the Federal Reserve notes, a fiat currency. Okay, so that's one thing. Another thing, this is why folks' satellite phones can't really be traced, okay? And I'm not going to split hairs on the discussion about this, but satellite phones, go to HagmanReport.com, click through to the satellite phone store. You got to take advantage of this. You've got to take advantage of this, because this is how we're all going to be communicating outside of the system in the future. We have to take this upon ourselves, folks, because no one is coming to rescue us. John, you're right. Okay. The changing of the money, under the table, you know, in the coffee shops, almost like a black market. And anytime the government does something, it creates a black market, does something like this. It creates a black market. For example, you know, look at the.
But you have to also. All right, cash, as John was saying, transacted for certain things, but there's certain things, no matter what, the banking system ends up being used.
Yep.
That's where they have control. Somewhere up the food chain, there's a mortgage has to be paid, there's a car payment, there's a transfer, somewhere up there. For little things, that's fine. Okay, when you start getting into bigger dollars and bigger things, and when you start getting into properties and things that are taxed, you're not going to get around it with cash.
Yeah, so John, and Randy brings a good point. So what happens when they go to you, John, and say, well, John, you didn't get your shot. So, you know, your property taxes, we're going to have to, because you live in our community, you're really a hazard, a biological hazard. So we're going to have to assess your property because you're living there as a biohazard area. So your taxes go
kind of funny you should mention that, because the property that I live on is not owned by a human being. It's owned by an LLC. An LLC can't get a vaccination, last time I checked. Limited Liability Corporation.
Right. But a lot of people, you know, a lot of people don't have that set up.
Oh, hardly anybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
The county collector is a friend of mine, and they're not going to go along with this. In front of my county courthouse is a 6-foot-tall stone Christian cross. right in the middle of the lawn in front of the courthouse. And the siding of the courthouse is white, and in foot tall black letters it says, "In God We Trust." Yeah, on the front of the courthouse.
That doesn't say that in the Bronx or Brooklyn. It doesn't help them. You know, we've got listeners all over the world, but here in the United States, what about, look, I know you're set. I know you're set. My gosh, I would love to live in a county that had, like yours, or an area like yours, but what, I guess, here's, what can we tell the people? What can we've got to be of use. This platform has got to be a place where people can tune in and say, okay, now what do we do? Because we all have to, the three of us have to be leaders in this. We can't just sit here and bitch and moan and complain and whine. What do we do?
We aren't going to, you aren't going to change the community. I'm not going to, you know, people can't change their community. Not to any great extent. Local young man, veteran of these Afghan-Iraqi wars, was shot to death as a security officer about a month ago in St. Louis. And he's from Steelville, the county seat where I live. town of 1,600 people had an American flag every 20 feet for a mile when they had his funeral on both sides of the road. I saw the same community stand in the rain for an hour waiting for another young man killed in one of these wars for the funeral procession to go by. Stood in the rain for an hour. The procession was late on both sides of the road for a mile. That's the community I live in. And to change a community to become where I live is not going to happen, gentlemen. You have to go to one of these communities is to live in one of those types of communities. You have to relocate to where people think and believe that way. I know it's difficult. I know it's expensive. I know it's hardship. But these communities, the community I live in, is not extraordinary or exceptional. There's many hundreds of communities like this that still have the traditional values that we grew up with in the 40s and 50s and even into the early to mid 60s. Those communities still exist and are still out there. Granted, you should do what you can at the local level, whatever county you live in. But the possibility of converting the county you live in into the county I live in is remote to none. That's just simply not going to happen. We have three county commissioners. They run the business. It's a $14 million budget. Two of them attend the meetings wearing cowboy hats. And every meeting is started with the Pledge of Allegiance. Every meeting. So,
go ahead, Doug.
I just want to punch in there. Newton County, Missouri. I don't know how far you are from them, but,
it's about a 2-hour drive.
All right. The county commission in Missouri, just as an example, the sheriffs of Missouri, in this county have been given new powers to arrest federal agents who attempt to violate citizens' gun rights, Second Amendment rights. And now, obviously, that's not going to happen in you know, the Southern District of New York, but it happened in Missouri. So you're right, and the depiction, you know, I'm on the verge of tears as well. The depiction about the you can't change the heart of men, I guess.
No, that's and where you're from, John. It sounds like a fantastic place.
It's just a little country town, is all it is.
You got a bunch of them strung out through where you live. I've been all down in that area. It's beautiful. The people are great. But
So what do? We all move, or do we all?
Actually, we're moving to John's house. I forgot to tell you that.
I've got a bunch of buildings here, but they aren't all that civilized. But we have a lot of structures.
John's right. John's right, though. How are you going to change the hearts of men? And
that's not going to happen.
No, especially in these liberal. You know, we've got the rural environment is one thing in the U.S., and then you take these liberal urban. I'll call them rat nests. These major cities. you're never going to change anything there. Our only hope in this is out rural, county level, a good sheriff, you know, and people that will stand by each other. Because when they come looking for you by yourself, a lone man is easy prey. You know, you gotta do like John's doing in his county, and everybody's together. And if a Fed comes in and wants to take somebody's guns, he's not just going to answer to the guy there. He's going to answer to the sheriff, and he's going to answer to 10 neighbors.
Right.
And good luck getting those weapons.
What happened in Newton County is more of a ceremonial matter, because the sheriff doesn't need any permission or authority from the county commission to enforce his oath to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. He doesn't need any further or higher authority to go ahead and stop unconstitutional acts on the part of any outside agency, whether it's the EPA or the FBI, the CIA, or ATF, whoever it might be. He already has that authority from his oath of office. It's more of a ceremonial thing, but I'm glad to see it happen. I'll be talking to my sheriff tonight about Newton County, and we'll be developing a plan of action if the anti-gun legislation is passed and signed by the president, which it looks like it will be.
Of course.
We already have sheriffs activating their militias in our state. Mm-hmm. They've already been activated to stop Antifa from causing property damage and loss of life. And right, you know, within a 1 hour drive of where I'm sitting right now, that's already happened. It's nothing new. By statute and by tradition, the county sheriffs in Missouri and most of the 50 states are the head of the county militia, which even in a small county, it's going to be 500 or 600 men and women. And in bigger counties, it's going to be many thousands. All men and women between the ages of 18 and 16 is the county militia in most of the 50 states. State militias, I should say. The federal militia is all men only from 18 to 45, I believe, if I didn't get that wrong. So these sheriffs are already taking action in my state to stop Antifa from causing property damage and causing injuries. I don't know about other states. I can't speak to that matter, but I know for a fact that it has happened a number of times here in the state of Missouri.
That's gentlemen, hold on just 1 second here. Got to take care of some business. You're listening to the Hagmann Report, HagmannReport.com, right here on the Global Star Radio Network. That's Global Star Radio Network, HagmannReport.com. Before I go any further, I want to thank each and every one of you for your support, keeping this broadcast on the air. Without you, we could not do it. I also want to thank our corporate sponsors, including Lightstream. You know, we're doing a lot here. We've done a lot here. We've put a lot of debt on credit cards. I told you about this, I think it was last week, when you get the credit card statements, you look at the interest rates, or you look at how much is going to actually pay off the credit cards, and you think, oh my goodness, grab your, you know what, because, you know, oh man. But I gotta tell you, I want you to look, you know what, after tonight's program, I want you to look at, how much money you're paying on your interest, how much interest you're paying on your credit cards every month. I really want you to take a look at that. Because sometimes it just makes sense to consolidate. I know it did for us, and it did for my niece. Oh my goodness, my niece Kathy, she's a nurse, and she came to me and she said, "Hey, can you? I want to just show you a few things and kind of, you know, to get your advice on a few things." I looked at her credit card rates. I mean, she was paying, I think, $600 a month in credit card rates and everything. I said, "Hey, I got the deal for you." And I was serious about this. I want you to apply at Lightstream / Hagmann, by the way. And she did. And boy, is she a happy camper right now. Folks, you can get a much lower rate than the national average interest rate on credit cards. Over 18% APR, by the way. That's the national average. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000 with absolutely no fees. You can get your money as soon as the same day you apply. Here's what you need to do. Okay, this is just for our listeners. Apply now to get a special interest rate discount. You go to lightstream.com/Hagmann. I'm going to spell it out for you. It's lightstream.com/Hagmann. I said I was going to spell it out for you, and I didn't. LIGHTSTREAM. That's lightstream.com Hagman. Hang on just one second here, okay? Okay, here we go. Again, it's easy with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. Again, I just want to make sure I'm driving this home, because when I looked at my rates, rates started just 5.95% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. Again, it's much lower than the national average interest rate on credit cards. It's over 18%, as I said. But here's what you need to do. Just for our listeners and viewers, apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is go to lightstream.com/Hagman. Two N's on Hagman. This is subject to credit approval. Rates range from 5.95% APR to 19.99% APR, include a 0.50% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. You will thank me later. You will be glad you did. All right. Thank you for that. Again, thank you, Lightstream, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for everything you do for this platform and for supporting people like John Moore, too. John's got a wonderful radio broadcast. Folks, I only have 24 hours in a day like you. So I've got a really – who do I listen to? John Moore. LibertyMan.com is one of those programs. Go to the LibertyMan.com and drill down and get the latest broadcast from John Moore. You're on GCN, right? Or
No, sir. Republic Broadcasting.
Republic. I'm sorry. Right. Yeah. That's all right. I'll get it right one of these days.
That's okay. Those guys all know each other. In fact, there's a whole subculture of us people involved in talk radio that know each other, isn't there, Doug?
Yeah. All I know is I click the button. It's so easy. You made it so easy. I click the button and I get your broadcast. So it's all good. And you've got a wonderful array of guests on there as well. So,
well, it's been a struggle to make sure I got world-class guests who are highly, highly qualified to talk about what they talk about. They're not just prognosticators. They're very well qualified in their areas of expertise.
Well, and I appreciate that. If you two, Randy and John, if you'll indulge me just for one moment, what's coming down the pike? I just want to play it. May I play another video clip or
please.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Alex Jones had done something yesterday or the day and the day before. He was showing what happened during Katrina. And then he also identified the man Biden put in charge of the gun confiscation. But he also showed the man who was talking about the Capitol riot. It wasn't an insurrection, identifying the people behind it. This has so many morsels of information. It's hard to really pick one. This will give us a lot of ammunition to talk about the remainder of the time. So if you can play that, and then we'll, the one I said, the first one, and then we'll just stop it as needed. Here it is.
The Democrats have hired former General Honoré, who is a leftist, globalist, anti-American communist, and also an anti-white racist, just a monstrous person. General Honoré wants to go to war with the American people. He wants the CIA and the U.S. Army to hunt down and wage war on us.
There was some complicit actions at the Capitol Police. A police chief has been fired, but now we need to look at a special investigation. Was he complicit along with the sergeant of arms in the House and the Senate? It gives appearance of complicity. They complied because they might have thought 45 was coming to the Capitol, and they gave way to the protesters who easily breached the Capitol. This is a crying damn shame.
By a percentage, 30 to 40% of the line officers are Trumpsters.
Yes. There you go.
All right. I got it.
That's the fact, Jack.
Honoré came out on the 6th and 7th and said, the sergeant of arms and the police are terrorists. They're white, and they're Trump supporters. And you cannot trust the police and military. And I will help lead a purge of the military, and I will help lead a purge of the police. Just outrageously insane. And that, oh, Trump and the Republicans and Alex Jones and Ali Alexander, they were all in the Capitol and planned the attack the day before and were given a tour.
All right, before that starts again, just
a lot of
that.
Negative, bad just things have happened.
Okay, I just want to let people know, you know, look, the FBI is looking at this platform, looking at us, saying, what was your role? Because it's our understanding that you sent, you had sent people out to the Capitol on the 6th of January. As a matter of fact, you had on your broadcast people reporting from the Capitol. What's your role in this? Don't think, ladies and gentlemen, that you are insulated from this. Go ahead and let's go another minute or two on this, and then we'll get back to Randy and John. Go ahead.
And we've been honest about those, and we've been accurate about those so that we can stand up against it and stop it. But there's also a lot of really positive things going on and really good things happening that I haven't spent enough time telling you about. And there's also not enough of us on this broadcast particularly that's so influential putting out original ideas and battle plans that are peaceful, truthful, and effective to stop this takeover.
It's John Moore
that is taking place. But the good news
is Taylor.
Mainline conservatives, mainline nationalists, mainline Americans across the board are understanding what's really happening and that this is a corporate crisis system, a crisis capitalist system where it's not free market, but where technocrats use their AI control and use their instrumentation that dials into every basically modern, but now it's in the big law enforcement publications that there were FBI agents leading and commanding. FBI commanders leading and commanding all three of the groups. That's why they had to arrest Enrique Tarrio at the airport. They now admit was to stop him leading the group because he wouldn't have been violent. But instead, ladies and gentlemen, these guys absolutely set us up, and it was a criminal operation. And so Trump is codifying the information. He's getting it together and preparing to go public, and Trump is going to have his own conference, his own symposium, his own trial. Because as soon as they learned that Trump knew all of this and Lindsey Graham was going to bring witnesses that Pelosi ordered a stand down the day before and ordered the intelligence briefing not be given to the rest of Congress, the minute that happened, they stopped last Saturday. We've been overshadowed by the snowstorm and the power outages. They ended the trial a week early and said no witnesses because they had had their whole system called on them.
Yep.
And so I'm going to break all this down. That's why Honoré came out on the 6th and 7th and said the sergeant of arms and the police are terrorists. They're white and they're Trump supporters. And you cannot trust the police and military. And I will help lead a purge of the military, and I will help lead a purge of the police. Just outrageously insane.
But who's Honoré?
Trump.
Who is he?
And the Republicans and Alex Jones and Ali Alexander, they were all in the Capitol and planned the attack the day before and were given a tour. They would then show video from November with us peacefully with Vernon Jones in the Georgia Capitol. And then because some of the Republicans that spoke at the event with the president had been at the Capitol days before, obviously talking to representatives, they called that a criminal conspiracy because they were in a criminal conspiracy. Guys, in fact, correct me the Time magazine article.
There was a lot of information. This Honoré, though, the area that I wanted to really talk to you guys about. Okay, here it is right here. This is kind of... This gives you the background on who this general is. You heard him contemporaneous to today. Trumpsters, right? Okay, what a bunch of BS. But here is his pedigree.
It's impugning people with the worst slur they have. And now it's being used as a pretext to marshal the force of the state against its own people. Nancy Pelosi is leading that effort. She's just announced that someone called retired General Russell Honoré of Louisiana will be leading a security review of what happened on January 6th, of the riot. Nancy Pelosi says General Honoré has been, quote, assessing our security needs by reviewing what happened on January 6th and how we must ensure that it does not happen again. But that's not right. General Honoré already has come to conclusions about what happened on January 6th. He's been very public about that. And you should know what those conclusions are and what kind of person he is. Just because his title is general doesn't mean that he's sane or not a wild-eyed partisan. On the day after the Capitol riot, Honoré suggested it was an inside job and that the sergeant-at-arms might be implicated in the plot.
There was some complicit actions at the Capitol Police. A police chief has been fired, but now we need to look at a special investigation. Was he complicit along with the sergeant-at-arms in the House and the Senate? It gives appearance of complicity. They complied because they might have thought 45 was coming to the Capitol, and they gave way to the protesters who easily breached the Capitol. This is a crying damn shame.
What? Speaking of misinformation and conspiracy theories, there's no evidence for any of that. It's all made up. It's crazy. But he went on. In a radio interview that same day, General Honoré explained that conservatives on the Capitol Police Force were to blame when he was asked about what happened with security. Watch this.
By a percentage, 30 to 40% of the line officers are Trumpsters.
Yes. There you go.
Yeah, real funny.
All right. I got it.
That's the fact, Jack.
A fact, Jack.
How would he know that? Well, of course, he doesn't know that. He doesn't have any idea. And who you voted for is irrelevant. These are sworn peace officers. They're doing their job. But General Honoré has decided to attack them on the basis of speculation about their political beliefs. This is a problem that this guy would be in charge of anything. And that problem goes beyond General Honoré prejudging what happened at the Capitol on the basis of no knowledge. Like so many of our country's ex-generals, this guy's an authoritarian and an unhinged one. He understands how to use force to achieve political objectives. And it seems like he's being set up to use his military training against anyone who sees the world differently than he does. They'll be reclassified as domestic terrorists. Who are these people and what threat do they pose? Well, according to General Honoré, those threats include the Constitution and our Second Amendment. For real. He believes your right to defend yourself is dangerous. He said that, and we're quoting here. Quote, we can't permit Second Amendment rights at First Amendment protests. Really? Constitutional scholar, are you? Imagine a public figure with a general in front of his name making that statement. This is the guy Nancy Pelosi wants in charge of security. Honoré is not a fan of the First Amendment either, by the way. On Twitter, he attacked this network. He even told people to stop buying the, we can't use it, profanity, the crappy stocks of any company that advertises on Fox News, talking on the stock price of advertisers. He retweeted posts accusing the social media site Parler of being, and we're quoting now, 100% complicit in the January 6th riot.
Okay, you can stop right
this
there.
This is
folks,
the guy.
I'm not going to take the time up of Randy and
I remember this guy, this general, Katrina. Yeah. He got off the helicopter and put those guns down. These are citizens. Put those guns down. I remember this guy. He's black and Creole.
Yes, but he also led the military to confiscate the guns in New Orleans.
Yeah, I know. He's a piece of crap.
Yep. So John, this is what we're up against, brother.
Well, I don't believe that people in the U.S. military can be disciplined unless they violate the Uniform Code of Military Justice. They can't just make up things out of thin air. So to discipline or discharge, well, officers, general officers can be retired, of course, but the field grade and company grade officers, I don't believe they can be disciplined for their political beliefs unless they're contrary to the Uniform Code of Military Justice. So I think it may be, unless something changes, a bunch of hot air political posturing.
But John, because, not to be contrarian with you, but what the hell happened in New Orleans? What the hell happened with the, hey, that they weren't supposed to be there. They weren't supposed to be arresting homeowners, taking their guns. What's happening with the military? There's political tests now being waged in the military. The UCMJ is out the friggin' door. You got transgenders in the military. What the hell? We're not playing by any friggin' rules anymore.
The military has dropped the ball too. We shouldn't be this far into the Biden administration, to tell you the truth, if the U.S. military was doing their freaking job.
What's going on is leaving us vulnerable to foreign invasion, and if the flag rank and field grade officers would be the first ones to be arrested if there was an invasion. They would be the first ones to be arrested and possibly executed, but certainly their lives would be over. And of course they have to realize that, that they're putting themselves and their families at risk by the things that are taking place to reduce the ability of our country to repel an invasion, to resist a communist takeover. Theoretically, it's not theoretically, we already had a communist takeover in this past election. Joe Biden is a captive of the Chinese communists in terms of what he does and does not do, and Kamala Harris really is a communist. I'm not sure Joe Biden seems smart enough to be a communist, but he's certainly controlled by them. But Kamala Harris is certainly a dyed-in-the-wool communist, every which way you can measure it. So they're rejoicing. The communists are rejoicing in their victory November 3rd, and they're putting in place everything they need to. And you mentioned, Doug, thank you for mentioning it, the mentally ill transsexuals being recruited once again. It all stopped under President Trump, but that's now being reinstituted. I mentioned this before, but if Hillary had been elected in 2016, July the 1st, 2017, male soldiers and airmen and Marines and so forth could come to work on Monday morning wearing the female uniform. That was going to be implemented. It was a Hussein Obama rule that would have been implemented and put into force when the new fiscal year in July of 2017. Obviously, it did not happen. But now I fully expect similar things to happen where male service members can wear the female uniform. And, of course, female service members can wear the male uniform. We're headed down a very dangerous path of degrading and harming our military's ability to defend the country. And Randy, you're right also. Our military should have taken, we have a more than 200-year track record of our military not getting involved in civilian political matters. But we're at a point now where I believe they have no choice. For the Republic to survive, the last thing between us and losing the Republic is the military. And it needs to happen soon, gentlemen, don't you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The military should have already intervened. This should have already happened. I am so disappointed in the United States military, who supposedly are defending the Constitution. Which brings up another point. What about all the veterans out here, guys like you, John, myself, that took an oath to defend the Constitution, and we were never relieved of that oath?
Well, those veterans will take care of our families and our communities. In the absence of any state or federal leadership to do otherwise, we'll be acting locally to preserve lives and property. I don't anticipate any national get together of veterans to do anything at the moment. I don't see any leadership at the national level to call for that. The only person I can think of who had that capability would be President Trump, and I think President Trump is speaking at the CPAC conference.
Yes.
Yes. Next weekend coming up, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, he is.
I have high hopes for what will come of that speech, that address, that it will give us all of us some hope as to what's next. We're already hearing that he may decide to go ahead and run for president in 2024, which has the liberals, of course, in a real tizzy, as well it should be in a tizzy. So I have high hopes of the CPAC conference giving all of us some hope, gentlemen.
I hope he does run again. That'll be interesting.
But Randy runs again. So they just tweak the algorithms and he loses again.
Right, right.
Who knows?
Well, and you're right, Doug, and you're both right. What happened in November can't be allowed to happen again. The mail-in right. ballots have to be done away with. Right. The Dominion voting machines have to be done away with. The checks and balances of having observers in all these places ballots are being counted cannot be compromised. In the absence of that, Doug, you're right. What's the point? But knowing, I don't know President Trump personally, but knowing him as I do from his public record, he will be diligent in making sure the state legislatures change laws to have free and fair elections, do away with the mail-in ballots, do away with illegal aliens voting, the people in cemeteries voting, the Dominion voting machines, all the things that contributed to what happened on November 3rd, 2020. And of course he'll do all those things. Otherwise, what would be the point?
But it all goes back to what we were saying before about this has to happen at a county level.
Absolutely.
This is where the election, if we're ever going to have one again, which it's highly doubtful, but we have to have control. We have to have people in the right places. They've got to do it now because 2024 will be here.
Well, we got midterms in less than 2 years.
Yes, but even midterms and then the presidential election, well,
there's a lot
of work to be done.
The midterms, things have to be in place by the midterms.
Yes.
The voter fraud has to be corrected, and that's less than 2 years away.
Mm-hmm.
It's just over about 20 months or so. About 20 months would be the midterms. That's not a long time to correct all the things that need to be corrected with mail-in ballots, Dominion voting machines, not letting the poll watchers watch the polls, watch mm-hmm. the vote counts. It's a lot to be done, but President Trump and his people, I believe, are up to the task. And the state legislatures in the critical states are up to the task. It's critical, Randy and Doug, that all these things be done before the midterm elections. We can't wait till 2024.
No.
This has got to be done ASAP.
If we don't get it done before the midterms, there will be no 2024 election.
Roger that. Absolutely. Roger that. And what would be the point? There may be something that they claim to be an election, but it won't be. And many people say, well, how will it? Why bother to go to the polls and vote? Because we know it's useless.
Yep.
So it has to be corrected by the midterms. Otherwise, we're done as a republic.
Well, that and just to give the people have to see this so that they have some faith in the election process again. But we've got to turn these upcoming elections in these counties. These clerks of the circuit courts, these people that are the clerk or whatever they are for the circuit courts, your supervisor for elections, judges, everything. It's got to be cleaned out.
Absolutely.
It's in those areas, if you look throughout the country and even in the rural areas, the more I dig, the more I find that these are run by Democrats.
Right. And a lot of
this has got to change. We don't want Democrats having us standing 20 feet away observing, 200 feet away observing. No, I want Republicans running it and Democrats 200 feet away observing. We have to change this. It has to change now.
Well, I think all observers, if they're a certified registered observer, they should be present to observe. I don't think we should be playing favorites, but the protocols to have safe, free and fair elections have to be in place. Otherwise, we're done.
My idea of fair is GOP people in there. That's my idea.
Well, you know what? Look, the Battle of Athens, Tennessee, McMinn County, 1946. Everyone needs to take a lesson from that. And I think, look, if we ever have that situation arise again, because if I was a poll watcher and somebody says you need to stand over by the door, 100 yards away. I'd punch him in the throat. Okay, seriously. I would not. No, you're not moving me. I got one job, and that's to watch. And as I'm standing right here, and if you kick me out, I'm coming back, and I'm not coming back alone, and I'm not coming back unarmed. How's that? That's what we need to do.
Have you noticed in everything since the 6th? Doug, you and I were talking about this earlier on the phone this morning. They're pumping the racism.
Oh, yes.
Pushing it. They're pushing it. They're pumping it. They're pushing it. They're pushing it. That is the, that is their drive. This entire thing on the 6th was a manufactured crisis. Okay. Because they, and then to call these people white supremacists, but these are just regular conservative patriots.
And that's all they got.
And they act like there was no black people there. We have photographs of black people there. We have them on film. So, and then this general, this is just another example. And then, yeah, I was watching earlier today, and they were talking to that Garland clown, the guy that's going to be the new attorney general, the new lackey for Biden. His top priority is prosecuting the Capitol insurrection. That's his priority. He didn't say anything about voter fraud. He didn't say, we're going to look at, right. No, we're going to look at that. Yeah, I'm going to sit down and chat with Durham about the whole Russian thing. He's already, this guy's already bought and paid for. And about the fourth time he said transparency, I wanted to go up there and just slap him right off the platform. Because when somebody sits there and goes, oh, it's all about transparency, I know you're lying.
Well, am I ready to get sent?
No, no, I'm right. I'm waiting. So everybody knows, I am waiting on a furnace guy. I've been without heat in the house here since Friday night. So.
Oh, no, that's not good. I started to mention, gentlemen, part of the voter fraud was using the COVID mask mandates and the social distancing mandates to keep the observers away from observing. That was part of this too. I don't want to let that. I just recalled that. I don't want to let that slip by, going unmentioned. If it wasn't for the COVID, what happened on November 3rd could not have taken place in the way it took place. No COVID, no mail-in ballots. No COVID, no social distancing for the poll watchers. And without the mail-in ballots, I don't believe they would have been able to pull off the fraud that they pulled off.
You're absolutely
was
right.
Was it in Pennsylvania? Doug, more than 200,000 mail-in ballots came back were counted that were never folded and put in an envelope.
Oh, there were, yes, many, many, many across many states as well. And of course, you know, SCOTUS, the Supreme Court doesn't want to hear any of this. And yes, we had ballots.
Mail-in ballots returned to be counted that before they were mailed.
Of course, and up here in my hometown of Erie, one of the postal clerks said, "Hey, wait a minute, we were told to backdate, you know, a bunch of ballots." And so what happened for his being, you know, forthright and being a whistleblower, federal agents came and interrogated the guy for, I don't know, a whole bunch of hours. He was talked about, help me out here with Project Veritas. James O'Keefe was up here.
Okay.
Anyway, but the long and short of this is, yes, this all took place. We're not going to get any kind of relief through the court system. The Department of Justice is not interested. So,
I'm with John 100%. This COVID thing is even deeper than that. I know COVID is a worldwide, blah, blah, blah. But our election had worldwide ramifications.
Absolutely.
Because we were the last country standing under Donald Trump. We were the last man standing. And this COVID thing was contrived by the Chinese and by the Democrats and by the global cabal to unseat Donald Trump in the methods that John just described to you. And anybody that says anything different is an idiot.
Yeah.
If you couldn't see this one coming. We knew when COVID first came out last year, and we started hearing about it in January, we were like, uh-oh, we know where this is going. Anybody that had a brain was going, they're going after the election. And you just couldn't come up with anything else. And then as you look at this clown show that we've been doing under COVID, okay, with the government says you wear a mask, but they don't supply them. Government says these masks, this is so deadly, and you got to have these masks, but there's no bins to put them in. Just throw them in your garbage can. You know, everything. This whole thing is nothing but a crap show. That's all it is.
And combine that with Facebook and Twitter. You speak about the response to the coronavirus in the wrong way. They're going to delete you. And Zuckerberg's $400 million into the election process, more than the federal government. And Zuckerberg and Chan's money, his wife's money, Priscilla Chan, into various states and counties all across the United States.
Amazingly, another Chinese person in the mix, but Mitch McConnell's wife, you know, you start looking at all these people scattered throughout the government, and they got all these Chinese ties. And I'm like, what is going on here? I mean, every time we turn around, you know, this even goes all the way back with Feinstein's guy that was working in her office, the Chinese spy. You know, we were infiltrated. I'll tell you who brought, I think personally, that's my personal belief, Bill Clinton. That Clinton administration is what gave the Chinese a huge foothold in the United States. And that's what I just remember in my life.
Yeah, and John.
It just seemed like he ushered them in. He had them sleeping in the Lincoln bedroom. That was their reward for trade deals. And this whole thing just stinks of the Democrat left selling us out.
Yep.
And that's COVID is about as much a disease as I have athlete's foot. Okay. I understand there's a flu. I understand there's people out there who died from COVID. But you know what? Personally, to this day, I do not know anybody personally that has COVID, has had it, dealt with it, or anything. I do know people that die from the flu personally because I know elderly people. I still don't know anybody that's caught COVID. So when you tell me your emergency rooms are overrun, And COVID is this and COVID is that. They've taken this thing that was this big and blown us so far out of proportion, scared the living hell out of the people, the population. They're scared to death. People are scared. My mother-in-law is scared, terrified. And I'm like, Mom, chill out. Just be cool, okay? Everything's cool here. Take the combat helmet off. We're going to be okay, all right? But this is where we're at. Fear, fear, fear. And that's another reason why they tried to gain control of the healthcare system. Anytime a country gains control of the healthcare system in the country, they got you. Stop and think about it. Every communist country out there, one of the first things they did was take over with socialized medicine.
Of course.
And then take your guns. Yeah, and we're doing it all for your own good, for your own safety, because we care about you. Yeah.
Sorry about that. Go ahead, John.
Sorry, I was ranting, John.
Well, that's I wouldn't call that a rant, but as far as our listeners are concerned, we have an educated audience, an audience that actually owns and reads books. They know what's going on. They need some leadership. Let's provide some leadership here, gentlemen. First of all, we got elections coming up in November of 2022. That's about a year and a half away, a little bit more than that. It takes about a year to run for office and be elected. So make sure that in your county that you have a candidate for sheriff, if that office is open. It doesn't happen every 2 years. If that office is open, that you have a constitution supporting patriotic candidate for sheriff. Make sure of that. Make sure that as many office holders as possible that are running for election or reelection are the same thing. Constitution, patriotic Americans who support the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Get active locally. Register to be a poll watcher. Register to be a poll worker. You know, those jobs, I know even in my county, they go unfulfilled because people haven't bothered to register to be a poll watcher or to be a poll worker. Those are important positions that need to be filled up with, once again, patriotic Americans who will do the right thing for the right reasons. Now, these things need to be taking place right now. I've mentioned before on previous shows, the Republican Central Committee in more than 3,300 counties. Many of these positions as committeemen and committeewomen go with empty seats because nobody even took the trouble to file for office. So all these things need to be happening right now, if we're going to win the midterm elections in just over a year and a half, the preparations to do that need to be made right now. Work with your state rep. Work with your state senator to eliminate mail-in ballots, to eliminate Dominion voting machines, to make sure that there's authority for the poll watchers to be able to actually observe what's going on instead of being blocked out, that there's severe penalties for blocking a poll watcher from doing their civic duty. All these things need to happen right now in order to have a free and fair election in the midterms in November of 2022. That may sound like a long way off, but here we are, gentlemen. This time next week, it'll be March. You know, time's flying by here.
Yep.
It'll be March. You know, Monday next week, it'll be March. And
that's 5 months from our from the election we just had. 5 months already.
Exactly. Exactly. Don't procrastinate. Everybody's busy. We got career obligations, family obligations, church obligations. Maybe you belong to a bowling league, whatever it might be for your pastime, hunting or fishing or tennis or golf. Take a little bit of time. We all have 24 hours a day. Take a little bit of that time and get active locally to become a poll watcher, a poll worker, a member of the Republican Central Committee, whatever thing that you can do. You probably can't do all those things. Well, obviously you can't. You can't be a poll worker and a poll watcher at the same time, obviously. But pick something to help your community.
Be the guy out there putting up signs.
Absolutely. Help a candidate.
Go hand out pamphlets at the mall, at the store.
Candidates need help.
Absolutely. Somebody's got to peel the potatoes.
That's right.
We talked about that before. Not everybody's a frontline soldier. So the guys peeling the potatoes, they make sure those soldiers get fed. Everybody's part of a big team. Got to get this together. And like John said, county level is critical. It's because you have power there. We don't have You and I don't have any power in Washington, D.C. Nobody cares if we live or die there. But the people that are in our county that we're doing commerce with, that we interact with every day, we've got some power there.
Right. And the power that exists in Washington, D.C. begins at the county level.
Bingo.
Without the power coming from the county level, there's nothing in Washington, D.C. unless it comes from the county level first.
Right.
And we need to, we need to keep that in mind. We talk, Pelosi and Schumer and all those characters up there. If it wasn't for what took place at the county and precinct level, they wouldn't have a job.
Right.
They wouldn't. They simply would not. So that's how important this is. And you can have a lot of impact at the local level. Most of these small counties, there's a group of maybe 20 or 25 men and women who decide what happens in that county. It's a small number, and you can either become one of them or become affiliated and associated and friends with them and have a direct impact on the decision makers at the local level. Have lunch with them, have coffee with them, go to church with them, go fishing with them, whatever it takes
what you're saying too, John, is Stacey Abrams proved this by getting down and dirty in the trenches and look at the results ahead. Dude, this is where it counts. Down low.
Absolutely. Well, I'm hearing rumors Stacey Abrams may be a presidential candidate in a cycle or two. That's really scary. but that aside,
think of all the construction work that's going to have to be done at the White House. Reinforced floors, wider doorways.
Maybe so. Maybe you buy all new chairs that can handle the extra weight. But
good shot, John.
You're really distracting here, Randy. a little humor helps too along the way.
Backsplash on the water pick is wow. Never mind.
A little humor helps. It does. She may fire all the black workers, bring in white workers. Who knows? But no, seriously. For our listeners here on this show, please consider becoming active locally at the county level. There should not be empty seats in the Republican Central Committee. The the person in charge of elections shouldn't be scrambling at the last minute to get poll watchers or poll workers, either one. And I've seen it happen locally, where we have to have a Democrat observer and a Republican observer in each voting place. We couldn't find any Democrats, so we had Republicans pretend to be Democrats just to fill up the spots.
Yeah.
The mother of a friend of mine, she was there with a Democrat observer, and I thought, I didn't say anything, but I thought, is this woman, is she have some kind of mental imbalance that she's a Democrat? And I found out later that she just volunteered to pretend to be a Democrat to fill up the slot so that all the slots could be filled. And that was some relief for me. These are things that people could be doing right now on Monday, the 22nd day of February, Tuesday, the 23rd day of February, contacting local officials to sign up to be a poll watcher, to be a poll worker, to be part of the Republican Central Committee, and be active. And in fact, I got an open slot here in my township where I'm working to recruit a woman to be a Republican committee woman. I'm talking to some of the community leaders right now to find somebody that can fill that slot. So I'm doing my part. I am a Republican committeeman. I'll be at the Central Committee meeting tonight, where the sheriff is the chairperson, and we'll have office holders there. We have the rest of the committee there, and we'll be talking about these matters. And what do we do next? How do we make this happen? That's the things we talk about. How do we help Republicans get and remain in office? How do we find good candidates? Run for school board. Run for office. These school board positions are very important, that need to be filled up with, once again, patriotic Americans who aren't afraid to resist the Title IX, imperatives, for example, that the boys can, become girls and if they want to in sports. You may lose some federal money, but you won't be destroying these girls' lives. Which needs to happen nationwide. Stop the insanity. They hold out the money as a carrot to get these school boards to comply with insane edicts that boys can compete with girls in whatever sport it might be, ruining these girls' chances. There's no way a girl's going to outrun a healthy young male. That's simply not going to happen. Even though she's trained for 4, 5, 8 years to get a college scholarship for track or volleyball or basketball, whatever it might be, she cannot hope to compete against a boy in the same events. Nope. And they do this, the school boards do this, so they won't risk losing federal money coming to the school district. It's insane. And they're doing the wrong thing for the wrong reasons, gentlemen. Letting that money be their guide instead of their conscience in doing what's right. And it's going to take tough people at the local level to stand up on these school boards to stop the insanity. It has to be stopped.
Yep.
Now, you probably both of you heard that in Oregon, mathematics is racist. Now, what an insane thing is that? So they're going to be graduating people who think that 2 + 2 = 5. Are any of these people going to become an engineer?
No, seriously. They'll be politicians.
Maybe so. But the foundation of any education is two things, language skills and mathematics skills. That's the foundation of any and all education. And if they take away mathematics, what are you left with? Not much. Not much at all.
No.
I mean, Even somebody's going to be a janitor. Some of the chemicals that a janitor uses will just flat kill you. If you don't understand how to properly mix the percentage of one chemical with another, you could die. Now, I use this example of the janitor, and I have a lot of respect for janitors because a job they do is important for health and safety, as well as just general looks of whatever premises they're a janitor. But you have to have a minimal amount of education of being able to read. I don't know if you've ever seen some of the warnings that come with some of these chemicals are sometimes 20 pages long.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, it's not the kind of place for an illiterate person to be a janitor or a supervisor of janitors. If you don't have language skills and math skills, you're going to hurt people and maybe kill them, because these, the things that they mess around with are really powerful and really dangerous. So we cannot make exceptions when it comes to mathematics, when it comes to language. The whole Ebonics thing, what a disaster that was. Somebody who graduates from high school proficient in Ebonics, good luck getting a job.
Yeah, you know? just ax me.
Yeah, good luck getting a job. I know a gentleman, a friend of mine, he owns a company. It's family business. They have slightly more than 100 employees. And I said to him, his first name is Bob, I said, Bob, you know, it's illegal to have an IQ test as a condition of employment. He says, yeah, I know, John, it's illegal, but we have other tests to do the same thing. So, but it is, it's still, it's a federal law. You cannot use an IQ test as a standard for hiring people. Now, how strange is that?
That explains Congress and the Senate.
Well, there's no standards at all, let alone IQ. We all saw the congressional hearing where the congressman expressed his concern that the island in the South Pacific would tip over if too many structures were built on it. Did you see that, Randy?
Yes, I did. Yeah. I've seen some incredibly stupid things come out of the mouths of people in the legislative houses.
And the saving grace was the witness who kept a straight face and didn't tell the congressman to his face, you know, sir, you're a complete idiot. He kept a straight face and acted like the congressman was not a complete idiot. Or the in Colorado, it was either a state rep or a state senator, not federal, who thought that magazines for rifles and pistols were a one-time use them once, and then they were disposed like a box your frozen pizza comes in.
Disposable.
Yeah. Well, once they're used up, what do we need to worry about? They'll all be used up pretty soon. And you saw that, Doug, didn't you?
Yeah. I've got nothing. I got nothing. Yes, I did. Yep. Go ahead. Continue.
Well, I remember the testimony that one of the black militias men, and there's black men and there's black men, in the militia hearings in the U.S. front of the U.S. Senate, and I think it was Schumer that was doing the questioning. And he was questioning a very black man who was one of the leaders of the militia nationally about the racism of the militia movement. And that was pretty humorous. And there's lots of examples of congressmen and congress and senators making complete fools of themselves, asking asinine questions. But getting back to our listeners, act locally, ladies and gentlemen, seriously, act locally. You can do it. You really can. You can become a Republican committeeman, committeewoman. You can run for a school board. You can run for mayor. The mayor in our local county seat makes $600 a month. That's total pay for the mayor of the local county seat, $600 a month. These are honorary positions is what they are, but there's a lot of responsibility, because even in a small town, they're handling a budget of several millions of dollars, despite it being an honorary position. I don't consider $600 a month a salary. It's just something that pays their expenses, basically, and to let people know that they're receiving something for their time. Point being, ladies and gentlemen, you can do something locally. You can run for committeeman, committeewoman. You can get a job as, and it's a paid job, by the way, to work the polls. It's a voluntary position to be a poll watcher, Republican and or Democrat. Be a watcher at the precinct level, or be a watcher at when the votes are being, ballots are being counted at the county seat. All these things are very doable if you decide to do it. And they'll help all of us nationwide. All 3,300 counties need all these positions filled up with patriotic, Constitution-defending patriots. If we can do that, gentlemen, we're going to win. We will win. Make sure that the people you're supporting for candidates of state reps, state senators, are Constitution-believing conservative patriotic Americans. That's and that you expect them to act that way and to vote that way. And if they know their constituents believe that, then they'll act that way and they'll vote that way. They need to get that guidance from their constituents. That their constituents are support all 10 amendments to the Bill of Rights to the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. They need to have that knowledge that their constituents are firmly behind them. That gives them backbone to act, doesn't it, Randy?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
They need that backbone. You know they got that support. And that support means they'll be reelected. In Missouri, we have term limits, which I think is a massive disaster. It's proven to be a massive disaster. We thought at the time, 25 years ago, oh, we'll get rid of all the bad state reps and state senators. Well, we got rid of all the good ones, too. So,
and when people see you starting to get involved and see things going on, help will come from everywhere. People like to be part of something. They don't want to be the first one that steps out, though.
Well, some of our listeners may need to be the first one.
Yep.
It doesn't hurt.
I'm just saying general human nature, though.
I agree, Randy. I agree.
Somebody's got to put that foot forward. Let's do it.
I've been in many group meetings, and I've seen a similar phenomenon. You're right. That it takes that first person to stand
yeah.
or first person to raise their hand, and then people will follow suit. And they'll raise their hand, or they'll stand up, or they'll voice their opinion. But you're right, Randy. That first person is a critical one.
And there's a lot of leaders out there. Come on, guys, ladies, let's do our thing.
Well, every family has family leaders. Yep. Moms are the leader of the household. The dads are the leader of the family in general. So everybody has some, and we have people, our listeners, who are active in their church. They may be a deacon in their church. Or some other position in their church. Maybe they're president of the local bowling league, or whatever it might be, in a leadership position.
I'd really like to see these churches get involved too. We have really, really dropped the ball in that aspect in this country. When I was a kid, the church was a powerful thing in a community.
It can be and should be again.
Yes.
It can be and should be. And I don't know how much effect this 501c3 status has on these churches. I kind of suspect it's rather small, quite frankly, in most churches. I know when I make my donations to church, I could give a hoot about any kind of tax write-off. That's the least thing that I'm concerned about. And I'm sure that many people that go to church feel the same way. So these pastors, and we have pastors listening. I'm sure we do have pastors listening. Don't worry about 501c3 status. You know, Randy, the black churches have never worried about that at all. They've always done the right thing, preaching from the pulpit on political matters. Yeah. And I can't see the IRS denying 501c3 status to a black church because of something that comes up from the pulpit. And if they don't do it to them, they can't do it to anybody, because we have to have fair treatment, don't we, gentlemen?
Well, you know what? There are no rules anymore, so the heck with them, okay? And I was going to say something differently. Folks, gentlemen, we are pretty much out of time for today. I can't believe how quickly the time went. Folks, listen to John Moore, thelibertyman.com. What a great litany of guests throughout the week. There it is. Go to thelibertyman.com, and that's the web presence for John Moore. And you can check out his radio show every single weekday, 3 hours per day, and then 2 hours Monday, right here on the Hagmann Report. But the web presence for John Moore, there it is. Click the play button or click through, and you'll get to the archive as well. Randy, John, I want to thank you both, man. It was a great show. A lot of information.
A lot of fun. As always.
It is good stuff. Sorry for interrupting you all the time, John, with your memory.
No, the interruptions were helpful.
We got to laugh, baby.
We do have to laugh. We got to keep sense of humor. You're right. Absolutely, we do.
Actually, you're right. You know,
if I can't laugh with my friends, then I can't laugh.
Absolutely.
Again, both class acts. Randy Taylor flying with me as well, co-host Hagmann Report, and John Moore, thelibertyman.com. That'll do it for me. Guys, Thank you so much.
Okay.
All right.
See you tomorrow.
All right.
We'll see you tomorrow, folks.
All right. Folks, that'll do it for today. I want to urge everyone, I want to thank everyone. And again, thank you so much for supporting this broadcast, this platform. Thank you for all you've done and continue to do. Otherwise, you know what? We're going to be silenced. We have to stick together. You heard John. You heard Randy. Look, we've got to stick together or we're going to hang separately. This has never been more true than it is today. A lot of stuff covered. SCOTUS 6-3 ran away from those decisions. Until next time, God bless.